Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
We're talking about the coronavirus. We're talking about the Civil War. Let's tie the bow on the coronavirus. Jennifer's in Clackamas. Jennifer, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to call in because my son is a teenager and freaking out about coronavirus. Brought up kind of a good point. I thought to him, out of all the people in China who have coronavirus, how many live in China? It's like a minuscule amount of people who actually got it. And then if you go down, the ones that died. And now it's over here. How many people do we have in the United States? And such a small amount, just like the Ebola virus and H1N1, everybody freaks out about it.
Yep.
And yet, do we hear about the Ebola virus or H1N1 anymore?
Barely.
It was such a huge deal. Barely. Everybody was so scared, right?
Yeah. The thing is, you got to be careful. You got to take care of yourself. If you're, I think if you're elderly or you are somebody who, if you did get sick with the flu even, you got to make sure that you take precautions and take any hint of a virus seriously. I am concerned. I'm concerned that people are dying, but that's just me. Let's go to Nick Daschle of The Oregonian. The Civil War basketball game on the horizon. Daschle, how are you, man?
Well, I don't have the coronavirus, so I do have, back issues, but I don't have the coronavirus.
Are you worried about the coronavirus? What do you do if your millennial daughter calls you and says, "Dad, I'm worried. I need a mask." What do you tell her?
I just got an email from the University of San Diego. They said that no worries down here. We're good. I get those about every week from school. They want to let us know their kids are okay, and I don't know.
Keep the checks coming, bub.
Yep, that's all that matters. Just keep the money rolling in so we can stay open.
Oregon State has been very good in men's basketball against Oregon in the Civil War. I think this Civil War feels a little differently. First, let's talk about the Civil Wars in recent years. Why has Oregon State dominated the recent years of this series?
Oh, you know, I guess you could say maybe they have one game in the week. You know, maybe they're able to focus a little bit more on defense, and that's really kind of where they've won these games, is at the defensive end. You know, they've had some pretty individual events. They've had some pretty good players over the last few years that match up with Oregon, you know, with Tinkle and Drew Eubanks and Stevie Thompson, some of these guys. I mean, they seem to take this game seriously, and the defense seems to have more, one of the things they're able to do with Pritchard is they've been putting Ethan Thompson on him, and at 6'5", he's long and gives Pritchard some trouble with his length. And that was really evident in the last game.
You talk about Peyton Pritchard. He did not win in Corvallis in his college career, and I think Oregon State took a moral victory there on that one, and they should, because he has been lethal to some other programs. What would winning this game, for Oregon State, sitting at 68 in the net rankings, what would winning this game mean for their postseason hopes?
Well, I think they need one more signature win, whether it's this one or getting to the Pac-12 conference tournament quarterfinals, one of those two games to get into the NIT. And I know the NIT isn't the NCAA, but it's still better than no tournament at all. I think, you know, they win one of these two, they're in, as long as they, you know, win next week with Cal and Stanford. You know, if they were able to win this one, finish off the season with three straight wins, and then get a little, you know, momentum going into the tournament, maybe win two, you know, maybe even get to the conference semis or finals, they're flirting with the NCAAs at that point. But, yeah, I think if they want to get the NCAAs, they have to win tonight. They can't lose tonight and get there. But I think winning tonight gets them in the NIT.
Wayne Tinkle's job security, can we put this to rest? Is his job up in the air right now?
I just cannot believe that his job is in jeopardy this year. Now, if they, you know, if next season is a flush, then, you know, maybe we're talking differently. But I mean, he's 500 or better in 5 of 6 years. The only year he didn't win was the year they had a bunch of injuries. Trace didn't play much. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. That hasn't happened since Ralph Miller. I just don't get it. I mean, I understand the fans are a little frustrated with this team. I mean, I could see that because they've proven they can beat the best teams in the conference. But there's other times when they just don't show up at all for some of these others. So I get the frustration. But you know, I've heard people say, well, we can bring in a Gary Payton to coach. Oh yeah, that's gonna work at Oregon State, bringing in a guy like Gary Payton to coach the team. I mean, you gotta. If you don't have somebody better in mind that you can bring in, I don't know why you would even think of replacing a Wayne Tinkle, who's done, you know, pretty well at Oregon State over 6 years.
We're talking to Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, OregonLive.com to read him. Civil War basketball game tonight. Oregon and Oregon State will play. Oregon looking to solidify its NCAA tournament seeding. Oregon State fighting for relevancy and seeding in the conference tournament. The idea that you've got coaches' sons on this team, it's great because the coaches' sons have been talented, but how much has that affected recruiting for Wayne Tinkle in your mind?
Oh, I think it's definitely a factor. I just don't think it's something people can fully grasp. I mean, if you've got three players that are in the starting lineup that are taking up between 100 and 110 minutes a game, what three or four star player at that position is going to go, yeah, sign me up for that? It's going to be hard to get those players to come in. Now, if next year they're having problems getting players in here, that's a different conversation. But right now, I think it's hard to get, you know, the kind of players you want when you have those sons on the team. And I don't know what else they could have done. Just tell the kids, hey, you know, we think it's better for the program if you went elsewhere. Of course, they're not going to say that. So I'm not convinced that Wayne can't recruit players. I want to see what happens next year when the sons are pretty much gone. I don't know if Ethan's coming back for next year or not, but I assume he is at this point.
Trace Tinkle, it's been a tough year for him. Let's lock that down. Why has he struggled?
Oh, defenses have really. I mean, they have really locked in on him, and they've double teamed. They get real physical with him. They put, you know, their best athletes on him. He's had trouble, you know, handling the ball at times against the best athletes. And plus, some of it's just, you know, his teammates are not picking him up. I mean, when he's getting hammered, there's guys that need to start knocking down shots. And when you're shooting 26% from three, you know, what's the downside to the opponent, you know, double teaming him and locking down on him? They know these guys aren't hitting shots from the outside. So, you know, that's part of it. They just had a couple of guys that would, you know, get on track. I think things would open up for Trace, but you know, tonight he gets 20 points. He's the school's all-time leading scorer. You know, that's a pretty cool stat. You know, stat for that kid to get that if he gets 20. But he's going to do it tonight or Thursday against Stanford.
Finally, draft status for this Oregon State team. You know, I know at the beginning of the year, I think, you know, Wayne Tinkle was talking a little bit about the outside shot that Trace could be a draft pick. I don't know if that's going to happen for him in this draft. I'm sure he'll end up in a camp competing for a spot. Is there anybody else in the horizon, any young player in this program that you see as a guy who will stick in the NBA one day?
Oh boy, I can't project anybody. I mean, Ethan Thompson, maybe somebody will fall in love with him at 6'5" and pretty good athlete. Maybe, you know, in the right situation. Kyler Kelly, I thought he was on his way, but he just didn't gain any weight, and he hasn't progressed, you know, along an NBA track like I would have thought this year. The young guys, it's just still too early. I mean, I don't know that Lucas is an NBA, you know, talent. He's got some skills. I don't know if he's an NBA talent. The other guys are just, you know, they're just too raw yet to say. So no, I wouldn't say anybody on this roster is going to find their name in the NBA draft at this point.
Isn't that part of the problem? I mean, the main problem, and I kind of think when Trice goes, you know, Thompson kids are all out of the program, that suddenly, if you are a talented player, you know you can go to Oregon State. You're not going to have to compete with a coach's kid for playing time. I think that fixes itself, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, that's the theory. I mean, we'll see. I mean, Wayne really hasn't been in that situation because he's had Trace for 5 of his 6 years there, and you know, he got Drew Eubanks right away, who did end up going into the NBA, you know, at least on a part-time basis. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't know how good of a recruiter Wayne is because he was at Montana and he certainly wasn't recruiting, you know, NBA level talent there. And here it's been, you know, the kids. So I think now we can see, you know, how good of a pitch man is he out there.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, take care of your back.
All right, we'll see you.
Doesn't have the coronavirus. At least that's going for you. Let's focus on positives. It's been a good radio show. I wouldn't say it's been great. I know when I've had a great show, it's been good. I feel like tomorrow's show is going to be off the hook, though. I'm out at the golf show, at the Portland Golf Show tomorrow. I'll be broadcasting live out there. If you're out in the neighborhood, I want you to stop by. Give me a fist bump. Of course, that golf show is going on all weekend. And it's at the Oregon Convention Center, so stop by, say hello if you can. I'll try to bring some BFT stickers out there. You shouldn't come there just for the stickers. Come for the golf, and then say hello to me if you're in the vicinity. We are ramping up towards March. Oh, yeah, it's going to be crazy. Madness. Can I say there will be madness in the month of March? I think I can. That starts, though, with this radio show. I appreciate those of you out there that make this show part of your day. I know you got options and choices, and it humbles me when I run into you and you say, hey, I listen to the show every day, or when I look at the podcast numbers, and 1.2 million people will be listening to the podcast.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.